We've looked at husbands, we've looked at wives, now it's time to look at children and parents today. But I want us to learn, as we've done in each chapter, we've picked out one or two verses and tried to memorize them. And I want us to learn Ephesians 6, 10, and 11. Then I'll begin to unpack it. This starts maybe the most important passage of Scripture in my whole life when I was a teenager, particularly 14 years old. I'll share the story when we come back to this. But I want us to learn these verses together as we continue growing together. So let's see them on the screen. Let's just go ahead and say them both together this morning. Ready? Would you join me? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. One thing I know with absolute certainty as we've looked across this past year, God has had His hand of blessing on Grace without a doubt. Grace Baptist Church, Grace Christian Academy, I commend our administrators, our faculty and staff for doing such a phenomenal job with our students. So excited about what God is doing through Grace Kids and Grace 56, as you saw Drew up there with the young lady, and Grace Student Ministry and Grace College Ministry, and what you're going to be introduced to today at the end as Pastor Mike comes up and spends a few minutes unpacking something new with small groups. And I'm so excited about what God's going to be doing with Grace Adults, and then down the road just a little bit further, Grace Couples, and hopefully a little further, Grace Singles. We've just got all of these wonderful things. But I know as God is blessing, the enemy is not happy. He hates what's going on. And in the last few weeks, and especially today, we are tackling the very bullseye of his target. See, I think the bullseye of the enemy's target is not government. I don't even think it's education per se. I think the bullseye of the target of our enemy is the family. Moms, dads, children. And I believe that we need to speak what the Word of God says, because folks, this is a world where change happens rapidly. I mean, so much, if you've lived long at all, you've experienced change in your lifetime. Aren't you grateful that the Word of God does not change? It is the same. It is a solid rock, and we can stand on the Word of God to give us the answers. And so I don't believe the answers found primarily in school, be it private or private Christian or public. I don't think the answers primarily found in our children or student ministries, as great as they are. I believe the answers are found in the Word of God and through the godly home. So, with that in mind, who am I talking to today? Well, parents and children. And I don't just mean young children, by the way. Maybe you're not a parent this morning, but you're still a child. Maybe you're grown, you're still somebody's child, and if you know Jesus, you are God's child today. And so He is your Heavenly Father. So I'm speaking to all of you. So if you've never been a parent, you have parents, whether they're alive or with the Lord, you have parents. So this applies to every single person in the room today. Are there any children here, again, any age, that you having issues with your parent or parents? This applies to you. Are there any parents that are having issues with your children, any age, grandchildren? This applies to you. The family is in need of a radical restoration. There's not a construction company on the planet that can remake the home the way it needs to be remade. Only an omniscient, omnipotent, omnibenevolent, holy God can do the work that needs to be done to change the flaws within the fabric of the modern family. That being said, God gives us some incredible truths over just a couple of statements right here. Let's work to unpack them together. Stand with me as we honor the reading of God's Word. Now, I want to just remind you of something, and I know you know this, okay, but let me just remind you. When the Bible's written, there's no chapter breaks, there's no verse numbers. Those all came many, many, many hundreds of years later. And so this is a letter, a unified letter. Now, think about it like this. Paul is saying, this is what it looks like to be in Christ. This is what it looks like to be saved, to go from death to life. Now, let me tell you how you work that out and how you learn to walk in wisdom, how you learn to apply the correct knowledge that God gives you in Christ. He said, you got to demonstrate love, and you got to submit one to another. And then husbands, you got to love your wife like Jesus loves the church. And wives, you got to submit to and respect your own husbands. And he gives us this dynamic of the home. And then he says, without any break at all, and by the way, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Then he's quoting from the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother, which are the first commandment with promise, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training, discipline, your Bible may say, and admonition, instruction of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just a few verses here today, but incredible truths that I believe we need to be reminded of. I pray today if there's somebody here, first and foremost, that's not a part of your family, if you're not their Heavenly Father and they're not your child in faith, I pray today that would get resolved first and they would become part of the family of God through Jesus Christ. Otherwise, they won't have the power because they won't have the person within them to put these principles into effect. But for all of those here in the room and those listening now or listening later or watching, God, for all of us that know Jesus, we have everything we need for godly marriages, godly homes, godly parenting. I pray that you would guide us now, that we would be open to these truths, Lord. And for all of us, regardless of age or stage of life, that you would teach us. Somebody today, I believe with all of my heart, is going to be released from some heavy burdens. So give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to break it down in two categories for you. Talk about the children first, as Paul does. Then we'll talk about parents. Chose the wording very carefully. Let's look at the reverence of godly children. The reverence. To revere means I know who I am and I know who you are. In the context of God, it means I know He is God, He is the sovereign one, and I'm not. I have a holy, reverent fear, an awe, a wonder. I don't know that we have that in our homes anymore. I don't know that there are a lot of homes where children truly are revering their parents. Now, that does not equate to worship. Don't misunderstand. But to revere means really to do exactly what God is saying through the pen of Paul right here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. A child who is brought up to obey and honor parents will be sensitive to their wisdom, counsel, and welfare because they know who the parent is and that they're not it. That's a reverence in the home. See, Paul's already said that men and women are no longer under the same authority structure once they create their own family unit. Okay, so listen carefully to this. He tells us up in verse 31 of chapter 5 that a man will leave his father and mother, be joined unto his wife, and the two will become one flesh, thereby creating a new family unit. But he does not abdicate responsibilities, therefore, that we no longer care about parents. In fact, very interestingly, right here in this text, the word used for children is technon, and it doesn't refer necessarily to a young child. It actually has nothing to do with age whatsoever. It could be translated offspring or descendant. So I've wrote something kind of like this, maybe to help you break it down. Obey. That's what he says first, two imperatives, obey and honor. You obey, you honor. Obey relates to action, while honor has to do with attitude. So godly children, regardless of age, are to have the right attitude and the right actions in relation to their parents. Now, parents in the room, I know you understand this, but why does attitude matter? I say to my kids, I need you to go clean your room. And they say, I'm going to go clean my room. Yeah, you better believe I'll clean my room. And they go and they clean their room. We still have a problem in the Lewis house, don't we? Because of the attitude with which the obedience took place. Sometimes in our home, bad attitude can get you in more trouble than lack of obedience. They're interrelated. There's to be obedience and there is to be honor. You know, the interesting word about obey here, this imperative, do this, children, hupakuo, two words. Let me break them down. I've talked about both of them at times, but hupo or hypo, as we would say in English, like if you're hypoglycemic, means your sugar's too low. So hupo, under, below, akuo, where we get the word acoustics, to hear or to listen. In this context, to listen intently and to respond to what you hear. So hupo akuo, I'm listening under. Children are to listen under the authority of their parents. God gave the family structure for a reason. Whether it be through biological birth or adoption or guardianship, God superintends the process and we are to listen under. That's what this word means, obey. I'm listening under. You know, it seems some children seem to listen well and some, you know, they don't listen as well. I think God always knows what he's doing when he gives us our particular children. We had Heather first. Heather, who is expecting our little Lucy, Lucy Brynn, January the 15th. We're excited about that. And Heather, man, you could just look at Heather hard and Heather would just crumble. You didn't have to hardly say anything to her. Just solid, obedient kid. Then we had Holly, and you know, Holly, she's a drama queen. It's okay. Hurricane Holly, she's kind of wild, but she's a great kid. She actually listened really well, too. And then we had our third daughter, Hannah. Have you ever actually taken your little one and looked through their hair to see if horns were growing on the top of their head? Now, I love you, Hannah, but holy smokes, Hannah was a different kid. You know, if we had had her first, she would have clearly been an only child, without a doubt. I mean, tough. Now, better, much, 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 much better today. Actually, she turned a big corner a few months ago. No, she turned a big corner several years back when she was much younger, but for a while, tough. You know, you've read about strong-willed children. She just laughed at that. They were nothing. I mean, she was tough. Tough, not wanting to listen well. It's funny, isn't it? Life, we as parents, we spend 2 years teaching our kids how to talk and walk and the rest of their life. Sit down and be quiet. I mean, it's a strange thing as parents. But the Bible says children are to obey, listen under their parents in the Lord. Now, in the Lord, most scholars agree, doesn't just mean if you have Christian parents. You may be here today and say, I don't listen to my parents because they're not Christian. Bible doesn't give you an out. Just like I said with ladies last week, Bible doesn't give you an out. Doesn't mean only Christian parents, but it does mean this. There should be parenting done in a godly fashion, whether they understand it or not. So, sadly, we live in a day where child abuse is rampant. And when children are ever asked to do anything unethical, illegal, immoral, anything that would harm them or others, command to obey parents is always superseded by a command to obey God. The higher biblical principle is we must obey God more than man. The same is true with me. If the laws of our land change and they try to tell me you must do things that go against the scripture or Christian faith, then my answer is no, regardless of what government or authority may say, because God is the highest authority. And you'll just have to come visit me in jail and hang out with me. So the point is that children obey insofar as it is in the Lord. If you're a young person here today, or a person really of any age, and you are struggling in an abusive situation, you need to make it known to an adult. Talk to someone in your school, talk to a pastor, talk to a trusted friend, but make sure it's an adult. And remember, Tennessee is a mandated reporting state, as far as I understand, so get the proper help. There's no excuse for abuse, and that is not a carte blanche reason to just say, hey, kids, you have to do what I say. Now, that being said, we do this because it is right. Verse 1, obey your parents in the Lord, for because this is right. Obedience is the correct thing. How many of you, when you were a kid, it drove you nuts when your parents told you to do something, you said why, and they said, just because I said, or just because I told you. Did you make a vow like I did when I was little? I'll never say that to my kids. And did you very quickly break that promise to yourself when you had children? Here's the deal. I felt guilty a time or two about saying that to my kids. You're going to do it just because I said so. And then I realized something. That's exactly what they ought to do. If I'm not telling them anything ungodly, unbiblical, or immoral, and I say it, they should do it because I said it. You say, what gives you the right? Because I am their parent. Given the authority by God Almighty himself. Listen to me, kids. You may not like what I'm going to say, but when mom and dad say it, that settles it, just like God Almighty. When God says it, that settles it. You don't get to ask why. In fact, I recoil very, very strongly when one of my children says, why? You don't need the reasons. You need the obedience. And let me remind you, delayed obedience is disobedience. It's true for our children. It's true for us as God's children. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Do it because I am who I am and you are who you are. Now, unfortunately, we live in a time when sometimes it seems as though parents need to obey their children. This is wrong. Children are not the heads of their homes. Parents, do not drop the ball here. Be leaders in your home. Kids are a welcome addition to the Lewis family, not the center of our universe. And it should be that way in your home. They're a welcome addition. You thank God for them. You bless the Lord for your children, and you seek to bless your children. However, they don't rule the roost, and the universe does not circle around the children. That's not godly. That is not honoring the Lord. And so obedience is the right action, and honor is the right attitude. Honor. Let's look at the word. Verse 2, honor your father and mother. The word honor, timeo, hold in highest regard or respect. That's why I've chosen the word reverence here for this main point. Put yourself, young people, in your rightful place. Now, again, regardless of age, when God first introduced this written law in the form of the Ten Commandments, this is the first law related to human relationships. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged, which the Lord your God gives you. Exodus 20 and verse 12. And so Paul's just reiterating one of the Ten Commandments. There are four that relate to us and God. Four laws, Ten Commandments. Number five, the first one that relates to human relationships, God says, honor your father and mother. And again, regardless of age. Now, if your father or mother are doing something unbiblical, ungodly, you do not have to agree with it. You do not have to go along. You are not supposed to go along. But the Bible says very clear here that this commandment comes with a promise. Do you realize it is the only commandment of God in the top ten? The Ten Commandments is the only one with a specific promise. When obeyed, you are given a gift from God. And that is, it has to do with your quantity and your quality of life, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now listen to me, this is really important. I'm going to come back to this in a minute. This is a guiding or general principle, listen to this, not an absolute promise. You say, well, wait a minute, what do you mean? I'm going to unpack that for you in a few minutes, but it's going to really help some of you parents today. It's a guiding principle, not an absolute promise, okay? Respect and honor for parents at any and every age is of grave importance to God, so much so that God, through Moses, right after he gave the Ten Commandments, over in Exodus 21, 15 and 17, and over in Leviticus 20, all these are in your notes, by the way, he said this, quote, from the Old Testament, "He who strikes his father or mother shall surely be put to death." Whoa. Then he says, "He who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death." Now, that's Old Testament law. That's for the Israelites. We're not under that law. Jesus fulfilled it. And so I know some of you kids are saying, holy smokes, that's rough. Well, wait a minute. Physical or verbal abuse of a parent in Old Testament theocracy of Israel was a capital offense. The book of Proverbs now teaches us parents and children, how do we relate best to one another? Proverbs 1:8, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Do you realize Jesus, being fully divine and free from sin, even as a child, grew as children grow? He never made any mistakes. And even when he was left back from the party when he was 12 years old, and he found himself at the temple asking questions, talking to the religious leaders, and they marveled. When his parents came back, and he said, "Mom, Dad, didn't you know I had to be about my father's business?" He was not disobedient at all. In fact, the Bible says, Luke 2, I believe 52, that Jesus submitted himself. Can you imagine that? The one who made them submitted himself to their authority, because Jesus, as a young person, was showing us what it looks like to obey, to honor in every way. But some of you could be saying, "Okay, Pastor, but why should I obey and honor my parents?" Three reasons given in the Bible. You ready? Simple. It's commanded. Obey. There's no discussion. God just says do it. It's commanded. It is right. He said, do it in the Lord, for it's right. And it's blessed. What do you mean it's blessed? He says that it may be well with you. That's the quality of your life. And I've told my kids over and over and over, it'll be better for you if you just do what we say. You're going to have a better life. You're going to have more fun. You're going to have more freedom. Do what we say. The same is true with us and our Heavenly Father. And that you may live long on the earth. Not only is your quality of life better, your quantity of life is better. You say, now wait a minute. I had a wonderful child. I had an obedient child, a precious child. But something happened, and they're no longer alive. What happened? We had a miscarriage. We had a stillbirth. We had a little one that passed. Listen, there's nothing harder in the world than trying to do the funeral of one that's in a casket this big. The only thing I can't even imagine is what parents must feel. It's so unnatural. It's so out of order to bury a child of any age. I watched my precious little nanny bury all three of her sons. Well, I saw her bury my uncle, but she had already buried two others. It's so strange and out of order. Again, a general promise is not an absolute guarantee. Even if you were an obedient child, God is not promising you get 80 years. You get 100 years. No, think about it like this. Children, if mom or dad were to say, don't play out in the street, chances are you have a longer and better life if you listen. Teenager, think about it like this. If mom and dad say, don't drive too fast, don't be distracted, don't pick up your phone, chances are you have a longer, better life if you will listen. Parents are looking out for your best interest. And listen, I know it doesn't always feel like it. I know sometimes it feels like we're trying to get you, but I do not give guidance to my children or punishment to my children to make them miserable, but to make them better. Kids and teenagers and those still under roof of their parents, do you really have a respect and honor for mom and dad? Do you revere them as your parents? They're not going to always be right, but it is always right to obey so long as it doesn't go contrary to the Word of God. It is good, it is right, it is commanded, it is blessed. Listen under the authority of your parents and have a good attitude as you do so. We look at the reverence of godly children. Let's turn to the responsibilities of godly parents. Your Bible says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now, interestingly, the word father, pateros, often is translated that way, but I believe in its context, a better translation here would simply be the word parents. We have precedent for that over in Hebrews 11:23, when the Bible is talking about Moses' parents. It's almost always translated parents, and yet the Greek word is exactly the same, pateros. And so while it often means father, it's sort of like using a generic masculine. Sort of like saying he did this, when we really mean he or she or he and she. And so sort of saying things like all men do, for instance, all men are created equal. Well, we know that that means all people, all men and women, but in this generic masculine, a better way to understand this, because Paul has been addressing wives and husbands, children and parents, is to read, parents, do not provoke your children to wrath. What does that mean? He starts with the negative, right? The negative command, do not provoke to wrath. Now that suggests a repeated ongoing pattern of treatment that gradually builds up a deep-seated anger and resentment that boils over into outward hostility. You say, well, tell me what that looks like. What am I doing? What can I do that causes this provoking to wrath? Let me give you four, if I may, and there are many others. Number one, inappropriate smothering and or restriction. Now listen, there's a line here. And the line with my children, even individual children of my four, may be different because of where that kid is in life. Age and stage, maturity, the line may be different in your family. But you need the lines. But don't be helicopter parents. Don't hover over them 24/7 all the time. Don't overly restrict to the point that there is absolutely no freedom whatsoever. Wheels can be guided, but never fully controlled, just like us and our Heavenly Father. Don't inappropriately smother or restrict. Now, I'm going to be very transparent with you guys this morning. I struggle with this one a lot. I'm far more restrictive than Cindy most of the time. She balances me out. But I tend to restrict, 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 and I believe that it's important, particularly until they're in their own family unit. Don't do this with my oldest anymore. Do it far less with Holly. Much more for Hannah, much more for Bobby because of age and stage. But she balances me. In the Lewis home, we have a simple policy. Yes means maybe and no means no. It's very simple. My children know this like the back of their hand. If it's something major, now the minor stuff doesn't matter, but if it's something bigger, they need to ask their mom. If mom says yes, they need to confirm with dad. Because yes means maybe. It's not a guarantee. Cindy and I may disagree at times, and we will, and you do, right? Of course you do. And this is one of the biggest struggles of marriage, is how do we parent? We're on different pages parenting. Well, we're different too, but we agree to disagree privately. Sometimes we haven't done that perfectly, but we typically disagree about it privately and work it out. But we always come to a conclusion, and the conclusion is always made by us. But yes means maybe, so they need to confirm with both. But no means no. And if you ask me and I say no, and I find that you've gone to mom, you will be punished every time. Plain and simple. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't love and care. There needs to be restriction, and I'll explain more in a moment, but we can't smother, and that leads to number two. Don't have totally unrealistic and or unreasonable expectations. Pushing a child to achieve beyond all reasonable bounds. Now, again, encourage kids to live up to their best, to live up to their maximum potential. If my kid is capable of an A in this course, I expect nothing less. If they're not capable, time will tell that and we'll work through that. And again, this is an area where I personally struggle. It's why I made these one and two. I especially struggled when my children were really small because I had higher expectations for them than often their age would allow. And so I tended to push them more, and Cindy had to remind me many, many, many times, they're just children. But now that my youngest has just turned 13, they're 14, getting ready to be 15 and 19, and I tell you, now that my kids are older, even those still under my roof, it's a different day. And the bar is high, but it can't be unrealistic and unreasonable. Another one, and one that we have not dealt with so much, even as I sort of pick with Hannah a little bit, a common cause of issue is favoritism. And the reality is my kids all know who I favor. It's their mama, and I'm not going to hide it, okay? It's fine that she is my wife before she is their mother. And it's not competition. It's not Jesus, then Cindy, then my kids, then the church. Wrong. It's Jesus as the center of my marriage, as the center of my children, as the center of my home, as the center of my ministry. Jesus is always first in every relationship. But they also know they are a welcome addition, and one is not favored over the other. You may remember in the Bible when Isaac favored Esau over Jacob, and Rebekah favored Jacob over Esau. Now, that caused trouble for the immediate family, but friends, if you trace history, that favoritism caused problems right up to today in our world. You can actually track this historically, genealogically. It is incredible what favoritism will do, so you need to get over it. There should be an equality. And then the fourth way children are provoked is by discouragement. I don't mean you don't correct, but I mean if you never encourage a kid, never tell them they've done anything right, always tell them what they've done wrong, they will lose hope and become convinced they're incapable of doing right. Kids are like wet cement. Whatever falls on them makes an impression. You typically have some time to smooth it out. But if you don't smooth it over, it'll set and get hard on you. Other ways to provoke children could be failing to spend adequate time or effort for them. They think you don't care. They think you don't love them. Maybe making them feel unwanted. Certainly, as I said before, any kind of abuse, physically, verbally, and otherwise. But it's been said if a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If he lives with fear, he learns to be apprehensive. And if he lives with pity, he learns to feel sorry for himself. But if a child lives with encouragement, she learns to be confident. If a child lives with praise, she learns to be appreciative. If she lives with fairness, she learns about justice. And if she lives with honesty, she learns truth. And if she lives with love, then she learns the world is a wonderful place created by a loving God. In all things, there's balance here. It's Billy Graham who once said, "Children will invariably talk, eat, walk, think, respond, and act like their parents. So give them a target to shoot at. Give them a goal to work toward. Give them a pattern that they can see clearly. And when you give them that, you've given them something gold and silver cannot buy." So how do I do that? I don't want to provoke my children, so what do? Well, Paul moves from the negative, don't provoke your children, to the positive. See it in your scripture, that fathers don't provoke or parents don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up, raise them in the training and admonition of the Lord. The more common way that we would say that today, we don't typically think of training and admonition, but use these words. The positive command to parents is for them to bring up their children in the discipline, training, and instruction, admonition with warning, of the Lord. Paideia, training, discipline. Correction for wrongdoing. Seen in the great proverb, Proverbs 13, 24, that is often misquoted, we say, spare the rod, spoil the child. That's not biblical, it's not true. Proverbs 13, that's never in the Bible, not one time, ever, anywhere. But what the Bible does say is he who spares the rod, meaning chooses not to discipline, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. So you don't push the discipline off. So love is equated with discipline. I believe Paul's meaning here is expressed even more fully in the Old Testament proverb. Finish it for me. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now listen very carefully, parents and grandparents. A general promise, not an absolute guarantee. Some of you have beat yourself up for many, many years because in your heart of hearts, you know you tried. You did the best you could with your children. You tried to raise them right, to love God and to be kind and loving to others. You've tried to imprint truth on them. They may have even prayed a prayer or gotten wed in a baptistry, but for whatever reason, later, either in teen years or even adulthood, they have gone astray from the Lord, and you have constantly lived in guilt and shame, and you continue to beat yourself up. I'm begging you, would you please let that go today? This is not a guarantee. It is a proverb, a general promise, not an absolute guarantee. There is no way you can absolutely guarantee something when people are born with free will or the power of moral choice. Even God himself loves us. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And yet even God himself gives us freedom, and many choose to run away from him, not toward him. Some of you need to let go of guilt today. Now, if you didn't raise your children in the Lord, if you didn't raise them right, then simply come to God and repent of that. Tell him you're sorry. You say, I've done that. Then let go of the shame and quit wasting time on worry and start giving your time to prayer, saying, God, they're gone, they're grown, they're out of my hands. Now I've got to trust them to you. Would you do that today? Would you be willing to give them to the Lord today? Give them back to God. Some of you need to let go of this guilt you've been holding on to. Quit beating yourself up. Children need protection and guidance. A study was done a number of years ago by a group of educators. This left-leaning group believed that chain-link fences around school playgrounds were wrong. They believed that they promoted feelings of confinement and restraint among little ones. So they petitioned and got the chain link fences removed around a number of schools, the playground. They noticed a curious thing. Rather than going out from their boundaries that once were there, children actually huddled together. It was as though they were scared to go out to the outer areas of the playground. And what these educators, though that once they were leaning left about this, they came to realize that actually, whether they consciously knew it or not, children preferred clear boundaries. Children actually thrived with structure. Well, duh. This is the way the world works. Imagine playing a football game with no lines on the field. Basketball with no indicators on the court. Imagine driving out here and take all the lines away, take all the signage down, remove all the lights. Now, those of us who currently drive, we could get by because we know where they should be. We could make it. But if you remove the lines, I guarantee you're setting yourself up for disaster for the next generation. The more lines you remove today, the worse off and more chaotic it will be for the next generation. This is what's happening in our world right now. The lines are blurred. The lines are taken away. We don't even know what family is anymore. And friends, I'm telling you, it's chaos now, and it's going to get worse if the church doesn't say, enough is enough is enough. We've got to stop. This idea here, this discipline idea that's missing in our culture, must be coupled with admonition or instruction. Nuthasia, the Greek word, actually the root of the word is the mind. Put into the mind. Put down into the young person the instruction of the Lord. That's not as much factual information as it is principles of behavior. They need to learn the principles of behavior, not just telling them yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. What's the principle behind this? The key of right discipline instruction is that it must be of the Lord. That means we need to be saturated with the Word, and we need to help them become saturated with the Word. Now, some people don't like that in our culture. In fact, British poet Samuel Taylor Coleridge once had a discussion with a man who firmly believed children should never be given formal religious instruction. He believed they should be free to choose their own religious faith. Coleridge thought about it for a while and then invited the man over to his house. He had an idea. See, Coleridge had a rather unkept garden. He had neglected it for quite some time. But he brought the man in and he said, "I want you to see my garden." And the man said, "Garden? What garden? I don't see anything but a bunch of weeds." Coleridge said this, "I didn't wish to infringe upon the liberty of my garden in any way. I wanted to give my garden a chance to express itself." What was he trying to say to that guy? Left untended, left to their own devices, our children, listen to me, will never evolve to the better. They will always devolve into a spiritual, weedy wasteland. Look around, folks. Pay attention to the world. Do we want spiritual weeds? Or do we want healthy, fruit-producing citizens? You see, you might come to say, "Pastor, I don't get it. Why are there so many spiritual weeds in our land?" I believe it's very simple. Too many parents are acting like children, and too many children are trying to act like parents. And we need to reclaim the right order in the home. Parents, be parents. Love your children. Discipline your children. You say, "Well, how?" You're going to figure that one out with your spouse in your home. And you're going to instruct them in the Lord. Our Heavenly Father is the perfect example. He guides us. He guards us. He corrects us. Yes, He disciplines us. The Bible says the Lord loves the one that He disciplines promptly because He does what's best for us. Mamas, daddies, you may be struggling in your marriage because you can't get it together on parenting. Then get in counseling, figure out the middle road for your parenting, and remember, God probably puts you together as He did my sweet Cindy and I to balance one another out. As I will give to her and listen and pay attention and she gives to me, we will find middle ground and we will find a way to work through, and I promise you can too. But reaffirm, remember where the structure of the godly home starts. The foundation of Christ, godly husbands, godly wives, godly, obedient, respectful children. Parents, don't provoke them. Train them, instruct them, discipline them. Children, listen to your parents. Obey them, honor them, respect them. It is commanded, it is right, it will be best for your family and best for your future. I want to close with something special from my childhood, and I imagine it's been special to a number of you in your own childhood, and if it's not been, you know, at any age, you can enjoy this stuff. It's pretty fun, actually. Everybody heard of Play-Doh? Everybody pretty well know what this stuff is? Did you notice the colors I chose? I know where I'm living these days. Plus, it was hard to find Carolina blue Play-Doh. So, look, Play-Doh is awesome. I mean, this stuff, it's got that funny smell. Some of you guys know what it tastes like. You're gross. But, you know, you can do so many cool things. I mean, the nice thing about Play-Doh is, look, I just made two pancakes. You didn't know I was so creative, right? I tell you what, I'm going to blow your mind right now. Ready? I'm just going to, just right before your eyes, The creativity abounds. And I want you to remember this because this is a powerful lesson. We are given our children to mold and shape them and make them into something great. And I just want to remind you, look at this. It's amazing. In a matter of seconds, I have created a baseball and a basketball. Can you believe that? Look how amazing it is. And then you put the cap on this thing. And then if that's not fun enough, you just, whoops, I missed that one. We'll do this one. That one's a little light. We'll do this one. Look, then you can learn to, oh, look, this is, I mean, I'm telling you, I'm going to preach the rest of the message like this, okay? So over here to you guys, what I'm trying to say is this. Your kids, young enough, malleable, impressionable, we know that. We know that whatever presses into them can leave a mark. We know that, right? Positively or negatively. The good stuff, it kind of sticks. The bad stuff, unfortunately, kind of sticks. And so it's our job to mold and shape under the guidance of the Lord with the scripture to help us. And so we're going to wrap them up. Let's say the word of God. We're going to make sure that it's all around them, that we talk about it in our homes, and that we make sure that we are putting them in a godly place where they can succeed, not in accordance to the world's ways, but in accordance to God's eyes. And so we make sure that they're covered and they're protected there, right? And just like our Play-Doh, once we put it back in the case, we just take the lids and we throw those away, right? That what you did with your Play-Doh? Why didn't you just throw the lid away? You ever had Play-Doh that you forgot to seal back up? What happens to it? Gets dry and hard. Now, you know, Play-Doh aficionados will tell you, if you don't leave it too long, you can re-wet it and rework it, and it may come back. But they'll also tell you, if you keep it uncovered and unprotected long enough, it will harden to the point of no return. You won't be able to get it back. And you try to eat it, it'll break your teeth off. What am I saying to us? I'm saying that your kids and mine are malleable, but eventually things set up. And it is so important, parents, to be the parents. Cover your kids in prayer. Surround them with believers that love them and will help them and walk with them, not to take your place, but to partner with you. Make sure that you protect them in every way. Don't give the enemy an inch or he'll become your ruler and he's crafty and will find the little cracks in the door. He'll find the little places that are open. For my own kids, one of the things we do, these devices that they have and things they have for school, be it their laptop or their phone or whatever that digital device is, that's an area where a lot of people keep the cap off. You need to protect your children. And children, I believe if you're honest today, I'm honest now as an adult. I wasn't honest as a kid. I didn't like the instruction. I didn't like the discipline. I didn't like the structure as a kid. But as an adult, I thank God for parents who gave me some structure. Today, as an adult, I understand the value of it. Protect them. Keep them in your care. And if they're gone, and if they seem to be hardened, if they seem to be far from God, I'm going to ask you, would you trust God enough to give them back to the Lord today? Would you trust that in the potter's hands, he can take the clay, no matter how seemingly hard, and he can rework it, reshape it, and make it into a vessel fitting of his honor? Would you trust your kids? What do we want? We want godly parents. We want godly children. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to ask you to do something here today. Parents, some of you need to let go of some guilt. You're going to give it over to God. Be done with it for now and forever. You know the difference between a general promise and an absolute guarantee. I'm going to ask you, parents, to make sure, whether your kids are at home or not, that you're praying for God's wisdom in molding and shaping them and protecting them and keeping them from becoming hard. I'm going to ask you, children, no matter your age, children, I'm going to ask you to pray for your parents. You say, my parents are already with Jesus. Then you could have a prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord. Or some of you maybe are embittered to parents. You need to pray about that as well. There are a lot of reasons you can go before God today. Children especially. Do you really revere your parents and respect them as you should? Do you listen immediately? Do you obey and honor them? If you don't, then you need to come and get things right between you and God. You say, I don't know how to pray. I'm not even a Christian. Then that's the first thing you ought to settle. Come and give your life to Jesus today. He will empower you to do all of these things you can't do without Him. Our families are being destroyed. We must reclaim the godly family. Do this thing God's way and get God's blessings and God's best. When I say amen, and I ask you to respond as God leads you. Maybe even some families need to come and pray together. I don't know how long it's been since I've seen a lot of families praying together. That would be pretty cool. I think that would be honoring unto the Lord. Father in heaven, I thank you for the time. I know there's a lot left unsaid, but much has been said today, and I pray that something has struck a chord. Lord, I'm still learning and figuring it out and make my fair share of mistakes. But I'm glad that my 4 children know Jesus. And I'm glad that all of them are trying to walk with Him. It's a tough journey for them today. I think they have it in many ways harder than I did. But I pray that you would guard them and guide them and allow Cindy and I the privilege to continue to do so, whether they're under our roof or gone away. But Lord, where parents may have failed us, you as our Heavenly Father never will. Where children may go astray, you never will leave us nor forsake us. Some need to trust their kids or their parents back into your hands. We surrender all to you today, including our families. In Jesus' name, amen.